Okay.
I will. Thank you so much. Okay.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much of what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to IWDM Radio. Tonight's show of Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab is being offered by the host, Mark Shaheed. And this program is designed to bring about an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This episode this week will focus on developing leadership skills in children. Listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experiences to the Learning Lab. So this is the first hour of the IWDM Radio, and I bring to you your hosts for tonight's show, Patricia Saladin and Mark Shaheed. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM Radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaudine of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And Dr. Slaudine and myself, we like to welcome those who may be tuned in for the first time. We want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. We do invite you to ask questions or to make comments on any of the information, the education that we disseminate on this production tonight or maybe previous productions in regards to parenting and also family reconstruction. And for those of you, we are aware that you might be tuned in by way of the Internet. For you to be involved and inclusive in this learning lab, you do have to call into the studio. And that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. And my engineer, Rashid Salam, will inform me that you got your hand up, and we will come to you for your question or your comment. We also, like for those, you know, at some point, if things that are said tonight resonate with you, we invite you to press 1. If you press 1, you would light up in the studio that you want to make a comment. So we also invite those later in the program if they want to have a comment in terms of what is being said resonates with them. We want you to know that this Learning Lab is almost 6 years old by the end of this month, inshallah, God willing. It would be 6 years old starting on our sister station, AM 360, in the end of January. The year was 2017. So we say alhamdulillah. And so we want you to know that it's founded on these three sources: Al-Quran, the final revelation to humanity; the demonstration of the Quran in the life of the life example of Prophet Muhammad; and finally, the tafsir, the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warith Uddin Muhammad. And we also have established some firm things in following the teaching and leadership of Imam Muhammad. In definition is direction, and I've also added correction. And we have given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We said parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility we have as parents, and we want to dismiss the misnomer that this is the role and responsibility of the mother only. In our acronym for family, it is father and mother inevitably loving you. And so it is the role and responsibility of the father to actually engage in the nurturing and cultivation of our children in these vital components that make up the holistic human being. We also have established that it is the role and responsibility of both the mother and the father to raise their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities. First and foremost for themselves, then their family, then their community. And then we say, inshallah, which simply means, God willing, with the parent, the both parents knowing and understand their role, their relationship, and their obligation and responsibility to their children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the teacher of all of humanity, but he is given the honor and distinction to the mothers to be the first teacher and the first leader for our baby girls and baby boys. So with that being said, it's traditional here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab to always have an overview or review from a previous episode. And so for that, we go to our very distinguished and esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salahuddin, and welcome back to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. I haven't heard you since last year.
Wa alaikum assalam.
No pun intended now. I mean, you know, this is a new year, but I couldn't pass on that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one. You didn't expect that.
No, I didn't. Well, how are you doing this year?
Well, you know I'm always fired up on Wednesday because I know it's the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It's time for that. And as you know, Dr. Salahuddin, that if we're ever going to remake the world and make it a better place, it has to start in the first social unit of human society, and that is the sacred institution of family. That's how we're going to make a difference. So back to you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. To hear the entire episode from last week, please go to Blog Talk Radio and select Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. The resources we're using for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and Sunnah by Dr. Ekram and Dr. Muhammad Rita Bashir. The book can be purchased from Amana Book Publications at www.amana-publications.com and also from Amazon. Our guest for this episode was Sister Soika Jackson. Her topic for this show is instilling purpose in children at an early age. In her presentation, she provided three key moments in her parenting experience that highlight instilling purpose in her children. The first key moment is parenting was she begins by sharing an experience she had with her four-year-old daughter. The daughter asked about God, and when she gave an answer, the daughter was pleased. That was the beginning. She knew her job was to make sure that the children knew that God is real. The important element here is to start early. Her daughter was four and her son was two. She stated that as parents, we cannot create believers. Our job is to teach children the truth about God, making sure that the children know that God is real. And as they grow and learn to study, God will increase them in their belief. She also shared chapter 51, verse 56, which states, I did not create jinn and humans except to worship me. This verse supports the position that God holds in the lives of his creation. As parents, we should teach children that God is first and foremost, and that we are here for a purpose, and God is intentional in what he does. She also said that when communicating the concept of God, it is not a question of, is there a God? But the question is, what do we need to do to serve God? How do we fulfill our obligations to him who created us? It is a matter of what I do to serve God. It is our job as parents to convey this message of service to God. She also added to cultivate the knowledge of God and to establish an understanding of God in their children. Sister Soika shared that she and her husband strives to create an Islamic environment. They live a life of being mindful by establishing prayer together, reading Quran together. They lead with love. The children see the love that their parents have for each other and for them, and that helps to cultivate love for God within the children. The children never had to question God's love for them. Using a portion of chapter 7 in the Quran in verse 172 to 173, which states, am I not your Lord? And they replied, yes, this is a conversation. This is what Allah speaks to the children of Adam as they exit from his loins. And so Sister Soika reiterated that the seed of knowledge of the purpose of man is planted in every human being before they are born. As parents, it is our job to confirm what is in the spirit placed by God. Then key moment of parenting number two, knowing the history. Sister Soika stated that knowing the history of the world in general helps to give purpose, and knowing the family history helps to give direction. And the history could be African-American history, Muslim history. In general, what is the history of your family? It's important to know, she emphasized, knowing the history of your family. She says, we carry trauma in our genes from our ancestors. When you see a child exhibiting certain inclinations, it is good to know where it is originating. Know Your Family History is addressed in chapter 33, verse 5, and when it states, let your adopted children keep their family name. That is more just in the sight of God. But if you do not know their fathers, then they are simply your fellow believers and close associates. The enslaved African-American people were robbed of their identity in this country. The experience of not knowing who they are in this country has had a devastating effect on our people. It helps to know who your family members are and what they have experienced. That knowledge helps and guides us in dealing with our own children. Know what people have experienced in their life and the family. Know what people have experienced in the family to possibly divert repeating experiences in your family. Sister Soika shared her family story that has guided her in making decisions regarding her children. Key parenting moment number three is knowledge. Education is the key. Education is a must by any means necessary, she states. And she uses the verse 39:9, knowledge, are those who know equal to those who do not know. When children have knowledge of God, their exploration of books and worldly knowledge increases their knowledge of God. They understand that God is real as they learn about the world. We want them to enjoy what is right and forbid what is wrong. Acquiring knowledge strengthens children's ability to enjoy what is right and forbid what is wrong. We must support the education of our children by any means necessary, whether you homeschool, Islamic school, or public school. People who understand the real plan for successful existence know that knowledge is a priority. We must educate our children so that they can give value to humanity. In conclusion, Brother Mark gave the acronym for PURPOSE, which is people understanding the real plan of successful existence. This can be done through two means, natural creation and revelation. So people understand collectively and individually. Allah has given an individual plan for the personal understanding of the real plan of successful existence. Thank you. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah, and that simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost. And want to commend you once again, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, for excellent, excellent overview. And as she said, you can always go back into the archives and retrieve that, as that was 2 weeks ago, as last week. It was an outstanding production. What every parent and child should know about the world's greatest scientist, that's Dr. George Washington Carver. That also was an outstanding episode that we had here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished, esteemed Rashid Salam, who's a walking encyclopedia. when it comes to Dr. George Washington Carver in terms of all of the contributions he's made. So we do invite you to go back and tune in and listen to that. So, Dr. Patricia Saul, dang, you did such an excellent job. I don't have anything to say or add to that. I think if I say anything, I might subtract or detract from what it is that you've already said. Hopefully you have an open mind, and an open heart tonight as you listen to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we do require that you do bring a pad, a notebook, and you bring a pencil or ink pen to take notes, because there are always going to be some noteworthy things that can and will be said. So we want you to be able to take notes so you can ask questions or make comments on whatever it is Dr. Saul Dean or myself may give tonight. So at this time, I'm going to turn it right back to you, Dr. Saul Dean. What's the topic tonight? I know it's chapter number 9. That's about all I know. And number 9 is a very important number, you know, because that 9 represents birth, you know, new beginning, new life and all. But what is our topic tonight on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab?
Okay. So with number 9 is right on time, because here we are in the beginning of a new year. So in the Western calendar. So the topic is allow children to express their feelings and share their happiness and pain. That's our topic tonight. And our author says allowing children to express their feelings and share their happiness and pain is a very important principle in children's tarabia. If parents successfully allow children to express their feelings, the children will always come back to them, seeking their help with any problem. When parents do not allow children to express their feelings, the children will keep things to themselves and will not disclose any information to them. This is a serious mistake that many parents make. It creates a communication gap between children and parents. Children need to express their feelings to their parents, otherwise they will find somebody else to talk to, such as a teacher, counselor, friend, or even one of their peers, who could mislead them. This could also be the beginning. Go on.
I think that would be a good place to stop after you make that last statement. Yes.
Okay. This could also be the beginning of keeping all their emotions from their parents, which can lead to a serious problem, that the children do not listen to their parents or consult with them when they have a problem or issue to discuss.
Yes, yes. You said a mouthful there, Dr. Patricia Saul Dean. And just those thoughts that the Bashirs are offering, you know, as, you know, authors of this book, I mean, it may seem so very, how can I say, maybe to some people very trivial in terms of allowing our children to express their feelings, both their happiness and their pain. I want to just say this and then get some insight from you and also from our radio listening audience. You know, I was thinking about this in an earlier conversation with Dr. Saul Dean, and immediately upon getting that narration in regards to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayers and peace be upon him, how he empathized with Aisha, Rahim al-Anna, in terms of how she was feeling. And she sobbed, he sobbed, you know, in that regard, which is so very, very important. And I thought about what came to me immediately was Surah 53, Ayat 43 of the Quran. And it's a very short verse or ayat, but it's a very sharp, I think, instructing sign or message that Allah has given to us. Allah says that he has bestowed or he has granted laughter and tears. And that's it. And I thought about years ago upon just really that resonating in my mind. I said, that's it, you know. So what is Allah saying? The first thing that came to me was this was expressing mercy compassion that Allah was extending to us, and He's revealing to us that He granted those two things as outlets for our emotions, for our feelings. You know, just think, what if, and we are emotional creatures too, as you heard me always in the prelude, in terms of the nurturing and cultivating the emotional nature that we have. So we as human beings, we have emotions. But just think, our emotions, that's energy and motion. But we had no way of expressing that energy and emotion, or our feelings. We had no way of expressing that. All that would just be bottled up in us. We couldn't shed tears. And oftentimes boys are taught that, you understand, when they're growing up, oh, you're a sissy if you cry or what. Mm-hmm. So they don't express, you know, those type of emotions, you know. But Allah says He has bestowed or granted us tears. There's a sensitivity that we should have as a human being. And this should be raised up in our children, so to deny the expression of your feelings, to deny the expression of what happiness is for our children or what pain is for our children, it really opens the door, opens and closes the door. It closes the door for our children being able to come and communicate with us, but it opens the door for our children to communicate with any and everybody, and that may not be a good thing. I just wanted to start off, you know, this learning lab with that ayat, a very instructing sign from the Quran and what Allah has revealed. Dr. Patricia Slaudine, commentary.
You know, as you were talking about the ayat and others on the laughter and tears, I just thought about what came to my mind was the mere fact that the Quran is just this book that has all of the answers for us. You know, anything we need to know about how to treat each other, how to treat our children, how to do anything as it relates to our souls and as human beings on this earth. This right there in the Quran, as you were talking, I'm thinking, this is this is what if we would just spend that time studying this book, we would have the direction that we need to do whatever it is we need, especially working with our children. And our children are so important that we will be asked about how we treat them, you know, on the day of judgment. How did you treat your children? And if we don't understand what the Quran does, it gives us an understanding about how we should behave and how we should treat each other and our children. And it kind of takes away those myths and those direction that we get from the general public, you know, as to how boys shouldn't cry and girls shouldn't do this and boys shouldn't do that. And we get a better understanding about that from our Quran. And we just, you know, it's just wonderful. That's what I thought about when you were talking about that. It's just how the Quran provides us with everything that we need.
Yeah, you know, alhamdulillah, that's excellent. It kind of falls into our theme here on IWDN Radio, the Such as Free in 2023, by thinking with the Quran. You're so on point, Dr. Slaudine, that the Quran has all the answers for us in terms of, you know, how we should see Allah and what Allah reveals to us, and what He has given to us as our Rahman, the most merciful benefactor. He has given to us laughter and tears. And so there's time for laughter, and there's time for tears. And these become means of expression, very, very important. And we don't want to deny those means of expression in terms of your feelings. And it's so very, very important. You know, we go back to the age and the stage of our children, you understand, when they're immature, they haven't matured. So they're going to have feelings, and a lot of times they, early on in life, they're going to be operating from a feeling base. Now,
right.
the word I would change, maybe that the authors by years have in terms of sympathy, we always want to have empathy. And, you know, when we say been there, done that. So all we have to do is just relate to when we were that age, at that stage in our life. How mature were we in terms of our feelings? How mature were we in terms of our emotions? Most certainly we didn't have the emotional intelligence and the emotional maturation that we would actually want to have, you understand, you know, as we got older. So it was kind of somewhat immature. So this is part of the role, the responsibility in terms of nurturing and cultivating that emotional nature in our children and helping to give them guidance and direction, you see. Mm-hmm. And the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was an excellent example and a teacher of that. He showed that he was al-basharun musulukum. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, has said to the Prophet, to let the people know that you are al-basharun musulukum. That simply means let them know you are a human being just like them. And the word basher, the root meaning of that, is sensitive. There's a sensitivity. You know, when we listen to our children, you know, Dr. Salahuddin, you know, when we listen to how our children feel, it reaches them. But it also teaches them that you are important to us. As a,
right.
You know, as we being your father and your mother, we want to know how you feel. We don't ever want to shut the door to hearing or listening to you in terms of you expressing your feeling, whether it's in terms of happiness or whether it's in pain. Because we want the door. If we shut the door, then the door will never be open for us, you know, to be able to understand and experience, to empathize. And that's where empathic listening comes in. You know, we talked about the five styles of listening, not only on this platform, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, but we've talked about it in the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That always is in existence. And, you know, as I think about this, Dr. Salahuddin, we always want to do what the instructions in the Quran says, that conduct all of your affairs through mutual consultation. Amrahum shurabainahum. Conduct all of your affairs through mutual consultation. What is that? How does that have to do with our children in terms of listening to how our children feel? We want them to always be consulting with us. So that means that we have to be consulting with them. Or you might say, Mark Shaheed, are you out of your mind? You consult with a child? Well, it's showing the prerequisites for mutual consultation is mutual respect. Should we not respect our children in terms of feelings? Who gave them feelings? Who gave them emotions? Who gave us feelings? Who gave us emotion? It is Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, who gave us those, give us feelings, give us emotions. But they have to be nurtured and they have to be cultivated. They have to be brought to a maturation. And that's part of our role and responsibility. But to ignore that would be shutting the door on that and for future communication. And so sometimes, you know, if parents, if you've been guilty of that before in the past and you get teenagers or adolescents and adolescent stage, they say, well, come on, you have never really consulted with your child. You've never been interested in how they felt in those first two stages, imprinting stage and also the modeling stage. Now they're in the socializing stage, and they feel in pain. He said, well, come on, you can talk to me about it. Nah, I don't want to talk about it. Why? Because you never were interested before. And so sometimes our children, when they get to the age and stage of life, they close the door. I want you to know that you're listening. If you tune in late, you're listening to IWDN Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Sloan-Dean and Mark Shaheed. And we are talking about the importance and significance of our children being able to express their feelings, and we listen to it. And also, you know, listening to their happiness and also their pain and how it can have a profound effect on them. So we do ask that you do press 1 and come into the queue if you have a question or comment. And you should want to have something to say. All of you out there raise children. Your children might be grown and gone, but you got grandchildren. And so whatever that we didn't do in terms of being the best parent, now we're learning better. And when you learn better, you know, you say you should always do better. And you can pass this information on to your children that may be raising your grandchildren. And does it make sense? But Dr. Patricia Sloan-Dean and myself are communicating with you tonight. We'd like to hear from you. And those of you who listen by way of the Internet, you do have to call in. And that number, once again, is 714-816-4673. We'd like to hear from you. Call in, press 1. And Rashid Salam will let me know that you got your hand up in the air, and we appreciate you being a part of this learning lab. So, Dr. Sloan-Dean, I know it's a little bit more that you like to read from the authors here in regards to that, how that can be very detrimental if we as parents don't listen, the highest form of listening, empathic listening, not sympathetic, being given sympathy, but empathy to our children. Dr. Sloan-Dean.
Okay, so Mark, we're going to move on. And here the author is giving this example. He says, how can you apply such a principle with your children? Let us give you a simple example to illustrate. Suppose your child comes home from school one day in a bad mood, complaining that he had a problem with some of his peers. Some parents may directly respond to their child by saying, this is not a problem. You are a big boy now, and you shouldn't worry about these little things, without allowing the child to express his feelings. This is not the right approach to solve the problem. As a parent, you should try to use the prophet's peace and blessings be upon him method. Ask the child to describe the problem for you and show sympathy for him. Tell him that you have felt the same if such a thing has happened to you. Ask him if he wants you to intervene to help solve the problem. Suggest various ideas to deal with the problem and let him choose with your guidance the most suitable one. In this way, you have shared his feelings, helped him analyze the problem, and guided him through the pros and cons of each suggested solution. This is a valuable practice.
Yes. Yeah, you know, Dr. Sloan-Dean, you said a mouthful there. Let's stop there and talk a little a bit in terms of that communication, actually how you should do that, and that's an excellent scenario. What stands out to you, what the author, the Bashirs, are actually saying in terms of your approach to that particular scenario where your child is feeling some pain and how you should communicate with them? Anything in particular?
I think the most important thing here is allowing the child that space and that freedom to express himself, and not to downplay what is happening to him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may be insignificant to you, because you're an older person, you're not in that space, but you have to have, as you mentioned earlier, empathy. And it's that empathy, you put yourself in the child's place and position.
That's
and
right.
Then you start feeling along with the child. And now it's not insignificant anymore. It is important, and it's big. And they need to know that you feel, you understand what they're feeling, and they need to know that you're going to listen to them. And you don't have to give any advice. They could, if you let them talk long enough, they can figure it out. So that's what they want. They just want an ear to listen. And you want
Dr. Slaudin, that's it's important what you just said. Sometimes, you know, and you may have experienced as an educator, you know, of course you raised children, I did too. You know, so sometimes you just let them just talk and talk and talk. And it's almost like they'll talk enough where they'll figure it out. But it's something else I think they said was very, very important. You know, how we used to learn when we were coming up, oftentimes our parents or even grandparents would share a similar experience that they may have had. And I think that's so very, very important because it becomes some type of a consolation to our children, especially when they're really young, to know I had a similar experience. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different, but let me tell you about that experience. And I think that that's a good way in terms of connecting mm-hmm. with our children to let them know you're not the only one that felt some pain in regards to the situation, circumstances that you are incurring, but I also had that. And they'd be like, really?
Mm-hmm.
So what did
mm-hmm.
you do? You know, that kind of conversation. Okay, Rashid Salam, we got some hands up, our hand up. Let's go to the callers and see what they
might. We have six hands that are raised on the system right now, so we'll start.
Six hands? Oh, my God. Okay. Dr. Saladin, I hope you finished up what you had to read, so we're going to go ahead and go with those that got six hands up in the air. So we're going to ask that you kind of keep it to a minute and a half, 2 minutes, if you will, and we'll try to respond very succinctly if you have a question. Let's go, Rashid Salam. Let's see what they have on their mind.
Well, the first caller, we have 773-449. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. This is Sister Amir Muhammad out of Chicago.
Alaikum assalam, Amir Muhammad from the Windy City. Your question or comment, please.
A comment. This is just so wonderful. I don't have smaller children now, but I have older children. And I want to say I took the notes here because I didn't want to forget anything. I think it's very important that they're speaking and listening on both parts because absent of communication leaves a room for not knowing what outside influences could be affecting our children. And if we're not communicating, you know, they're quietly suffering. And, you know, if we could have those communications with them, we can find out what's really shaping their character outside of our home. A lot of times they are being affected by bullying. They may even have people, you know, sexual advances or drugs, or, you know, how your peers can offer you drugs and, you know, keeping your lunch money, just all kind of things that be, you know, and they're suppressing themselves because they don't feel that they can come to their parents and talk to them openly about what's going on with them. And if the parents is not listening, you know, the children, they're going to make their own decisions a lot of time about, you know, what's affected them and how they feel that they should handle that. So it's very important that we keep that communication open. And even with older children, you know, it's like as parents with our older children, we can kind of look back and see what was missing from us that we didn't know. If we did, it would make a difference. And it even allows us to interact in a different kind of way with them because you still have older children that make bad choices. And you have older children that don't come to their parents because they may have a fear that they may not agree with them or it may be something that they feel ashamed that they want to address with the parents. So I just want to say that keeping that line of communication.
Yeah, absolutely. But thank you. Thank you so much, Mira Muhammad. You made some points and very sharp points there. Thank you so much, and get some type of commentary from Dr. Patricia Slaudin on that. Thank you so much, and we really appreciate your commentary. Press 1 as you go out the queue so we can keep the studio clear. And can you say something succinctly to that comment, Dr. Slaudin? Take yourself off mute, Dr. Slaudin.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I think that Sister Mira had a very, very good point about how we did, the ways of the importance of having an open communication with our children. That's a very, very important point. Thank you, Sister Mira.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Thank you, Sister Mira. Okay, Rashid Salam, who else we have in the queue with their hands up? If it be okay. Succinct, minute and a half, if you would, your question or comment.
Yes, we have 601-376. State your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your microphone.
Oh, I think I know where that's from. That's from the South.
Daryl Muhammad from Jackson.
Assalamu alaikum. My brother Daryl Muhammad. Alhamdulillah. So you've been listening in, Brother Daryl. You got any comments, questions on tonight's topic?
I want to iterate with that. I'm 100% sure the Tukul was right about the Quran earlier when she said that all the problems that we have as human beings can be solved if we study the book as we should study. Now, getting back to the kids of the day, you know, the children of the day, you know, they got so much that's going on in their life than what we had, Mark, you know, because when we were coming up, we were being what we call disciplined. And if we wasn't disciplined, now, let me get this right. We were disciplined. The kids today don't get the type of kind of discipline that you and I have, that we got. And then a lot of things that I see in kids that so much that they mind, you know, they got Twitter, they got Facebook, they got all this stuff that distracts their mind. And a lot of them, you know, they get so depressed because they don't have a mother and a father to speak to. They don't have a grandparent or a grandfather to speak to. And then a lot of times when that situation happens like that, Mark, then we have a serious, serious, serious problem. It could be suicidal. It could be drugs. It could be game banging. It could be all of these things.
Yeah.
I do applaud what the people do say, that we have to give our children some time to express themselves. And then when they express themselves, we must tune in and listen, because if we are not listening, we're going to miss something.
If we
listen and we find out what the problem is, then yes, with the help of Allah, we can all work it out. We can all work it out.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Daryl. Thank you so much for calling in, and your points are very well taken here, and I want you to continue to listen in and everything, and continue to press 1 and make those type of comments. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1, Brother Daryl, as you go out. Dr. Salahuddin, another short point. Do you think there, Brother Daryl, is making in terms of the distractions that happen with our children, but we can't help them if we're not going to really, really, really listen to them and give them what they deserve. The most important commodity that we have as parents is time. Dr. Salahuddin?
I definitely agree with Brother Daryl on the distractions and the lack of discipline. And lack of discipline. The other thing you mentioned is the absence of extended family. You know, sometimes you just, I know I have grandchildren, so sometimes I get to hear stuff. You know, they come over and they'll talk to me about stuff. But sometimes the kids don't have that. They don't have the aunt or the, you know, they don't have, there's an absence of people. Mm-hmm. And that's not, you know, anyone's fault, because sometimes families have to move away from the extended, people have to move away from the extended family because for jobs or for just livelihood and et cetera. Brother Daryl has some very, very good points on and the lack of discipline. He mentioned about the distraction for the children. The parents are distracted too. You know, you pick up the child from school and you're on the phone and talking. The kid can't talk to you because you're on the phone talking, right? So, it's a lot of distraction, not just for the kids, but the parents as well.
That's right. That's right, said Dr. Salahuddin. So thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Daryl, for bringing these points on. That's a good message, Dr. Salahuddin. Send it to the parents, so you know that's a two-way street. You know, you don't want your children to be distracted or diverted, and you need to be, you understand, listening to your child, not being distracted and diverted from giving them your undivided attention. They haven't seen you in a few hours. They may have a whole lot to say to you. Let's go, Rashid Salam. Others got their hands in the air. To think a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Yeah, we have 10 minutes left, so we have 843-737. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
Aniya Washington. I'm calling from Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay, my dear sister from South South Carolina. Yes. What comment or question do you have in this topic tonight?
I'm commenting and I'll experience it now. I'm raising two grandsons.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been with me since they was nine years. And
mm-hmm.
what's going on within society? First of all, I try to teach them morals.
Yes.
You know, I teach them, and I tell them pay attention to what's going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to expect, you see a person come to the car asking for money or knocking on the door, want to do work in the yard or something like that. And I usually reach out to those kind of people, and I explain to them, I don't know what they've been through, what got them to that point. You don't look down on anyone.
Yes,
you don't
ma'am.
Know the path they are traveling, and you don't know what you're going to have to go through. But back to distraction. When we was coming up, I'm 65 now, when I was coming up, and you all, we played in the yard. We played football. We played bats, hopscotch, jump rope. This day and time, what they do, you know, the computers, the phone, the television. This is their play time. But I have to monitor it. I have to put a time limit. They have to respect me, and I respect them in many ways, too. They got to learn how to feel what's going on in society, what they will have to face. Because it's just changing. The spirit is still the same, but it's more demonic. I talk to them like that. You know, I have one, the 10-year-old. I'm not trying to hold, but the 10-year-old, he open up. He speaks. He see what he see things. He talks against it. He speak out on it at school. Okay, they know about a drug-free community, drug-free school. They know about these things. You have to teach them.
Yes,
we
ma'am.
Can't let this society influence the homosexual. They know I suffer
alone. Right. Well, we want to get Dr. Slaudine to say something in regards to that because we're short on time, and I think we got some more people right behind you with their hands up. This is a good topic and everything, and we do appreciate your commentary and sharing of that with us in terms of your grandchildren. So grandmother called in and make those excellent comments that you made. We really treasure that. Thank you so much. We want you to continue to listen. Continue to participate in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out. Dr. Salahuddin, something very succinct, if you will. Here's a grandmother calling in tonight and just sharing her experience and, you know, how important is that?
Oh, very important. Our caller has some very important points. Number one, she's raising her grandson, and she really has the right ingredients, pushing the morals, teaching them the charity, to be charitable and disciplined and be respectful, and then limiting the time that they are spending on the electronics. And it's a fantastic the points that she gave us. Thank you very much.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, my love sister. Continue to listen. Press 1 and go out the queue. Rashid Salam, how many hands do we have left?
We have two hands, and I'll keep my comments in
the
queue.
Okay, well, we're going to get you in, Rashid Salam. So I'm going to ask our two hands left. We're going to ask you to keep it to a minute and a half if you can. Get right to it, and we'll get a succinct commentary from Dr. Salahuddin, and we'll get Rashid Salam in. All right, let's go, Rashid. Who we have next?
We have 718-344. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
As-salamu alaykum. Haji Lala, Fort Valley, Georgia.
Alaykum as-salam. Welcome. So what's your comment, question that you might want to share, if you could be very succinct?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, I'll be brief. I have a 5-year-old granddaughter, and she goes to school, but she comes back from school, and she knows a lot of little things that she didn't know before. And so when I noticed it, I mentioned it to my daughter, and she said she mentioned it to the teacher, and the teacher said, well, you know, they do play together, but she doing, you know, like nasty type of thing, like or hitting or snatching things, you know. So we don't want her to, you know, to learn that. So we try
right.
to talk to her, you know.
I mean,
they don't think it's our fault. I don't know why.
Yes. You know that PTA thing when Moose coming up is very, very, very important. So thank you so much for sharing with that, because I think parents have to always be involved, whether your parents or grandparents, the whole family. When I was coming up, I couldn't get away with nothing. You know, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, my sister, and please continue to listen in to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Spread the word, if you will.
Yes,
assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out the queue. We can keep the studio clear. And Dr. Slaudine, another great comment.
Yes, and it's a great concern, too, because here you have you send your children off to school, and you got a nice, a good environment at home, but then they go off to school, and they're spending 7 hours in an environment that's not the kind that they're learning things that you don't want them to learn. And so I think that your daughter going to visit the teacher, also getting involved with the PTA, and if you have no other choice but to send her to the school that you're sending, you have to be a part of that environment to make sure that your child is getting what protect your child from the elements that are in that environment. So
that's right.
You have rights. Just know what your rights are. And
yeah, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Slaudine. Rashid Salam, we got one more, and then we get you in, Rashid. That's our call to be very succinct minute, if you would please call her, and we'll get a comment from Dr. Slaudine, get Rashid in. Let's go, Rashid. Who we have left?
Okay. We have 949-689. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Melvin calling in from Atlanta, Greater Atlanta.
My brother Melvin. I'm going to lie. It's always good to hear your voice, Brother Melvin.
Likewise.
Yeah.
I'm
what do you got to say tonight on this topic, Brother Melvin?
Okay. I'm hoping I'm not being redundant. I hope I didn't say this before, but it's been ringing so loud that I want to say it, so hopefully I didn't say it already. And that is... the engaging, you know, what you spend time, but also definitely engage them, ask them questions, you know, pick their brain. So what I wanted to share was just one little thing I just heard recently. It had to do with Hamza Yusuf was explaining something about guarding the tongue. And so in this message, he was saying that this guy said that when he was younger, when he was a kid, he told his mother that he didn't like vegetables. And he said, I don't like vegetables. And she said, who was I? He said, me. She said, well, who's me? And he didn't understand. He said, I don't understand. He said, well, you said you don't like vegetables, but your kidneys like vegetables, your heart likes vegetables, and your liver likes vegetables. He said, so why are you letting your tongue speak on behalf of the rest of your body?
I love it. I said, cock bear. I love Rackbar. I gotta remember that, brother. I'm on Ask Rashid Salam. Get your number, brother. I haven't talked to you in a while, so look for a call from me, or else you can give a call. And so Rashid, make sure you take Brother Melvin. Thank you, Brother Melvin. I wish you had more time to give to you, but I don't.
Yes.
But we'll talk off air. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, so no comment from you, Dr. Slaudine, on that. Let's go to Rashid Salam. He's been waiting in the wings there tonight.
Rashid, I would like to
give you more time. Well, I got to put time cap on you, too. You got a minute and a half to share.
I need a full-blown opportunity, so I'm going to wait till next week. I wrote my question down.
Well, I want deep conversation. Okay, you can wait till next week, and Dr. Slaudine and I will let you come on first, because I'm always going to let Dr. Slaudine have a closing remark. You already know that. That's part of the platform here. So, Dr. Slaudine, wow, what a learning lab tonight. your parting remarks, if you will. You got about a minute, Dr. Slaudy.
Oh, wow. We had a wonderful learning lab tonight. This is exactly what a learning lab is all about. Alhamdulillah. We just wanted to make to say that we have to use our Quran to guide us as we are making this great effort to raise our children. Whether it's our grandchildren, whether it's, you know, our children, these are our children. And we have to create an environment that's going to produce the child that Allah has created already, that those, and bring out those that spirit that Allah has already put in the child. And when we put them in other environments that don't do that, we are doing the child a disservice. So we have to work together as a community.
Yes.
As a community. It's not just one thing. It's not just one, you know, the parent by themselves. The community has to help. And that's what we need to do. We have our we have a job to do. And
alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. I want to say to the radio listeners, I just want to thank you for tuning in to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away, because the MGM Roundtable, that's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, is coming up next. I want to thank Dr. Patricia Slaudine for sharing her wisdom and insight with us each and every Wednesday here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And so she'll be back with us next week, inshallah, God willing, for more instructions. And this is in line with the theme that we have here on IWDN Radio, Set Yourself Free in 2023 by Thinking with the Quran. And Dr. Saladin really emphasized that, the importance of thinking with the Quran. And as parents, we have to do it. And then we also got to teach our children to begin to start thinking with the Quran. This helps to liberate us and things that we may be having problems and issues with. So thank you so very much, Dr. Slaudine. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah, there you have it in the first hour, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And before we transition to our next production, the MGM Roundtable, let you know that the beat goes on here on IWDN Radio. As tomorrow, you will be listening in to the Sister Learning Lab. That's the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir out of the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL. She joins yours truly, Mark Shahid, on that. And it begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. This will be the fifth in the series on correct communication to ensure that we can and we'll have a healthy, harmonious marriage relationship or even courtship relationship. And so tomorrow you can look forward to that. Quran don't have laryngitis. I talked to her just yesterday, and she sounds real good, and she's ready. We're going to be doing some role-playing tomorrow, and we're going to be doing the right way of communication, and then we're going to do the wrong way of communication. And you, our radio listening audience, that will be attending the Learning Lab, you're going to be the critics. You're going to have to tell us from the information and education that we have already disseminated on correct communication, what was it that we did wrong in the wrong way, and what was it that we did right in the right way. So please tune in tomorrow. Please invite your family, friends, colleagues, and all. So we transition to the MGM Roundtable. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet, I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to our national and international audience, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give. And it becomes an obligation and a dua on the giver as for and the recipient of that greeting of peace. So, assalamu alaikum. And we also want you to know that each and every Wednesday, I like to present on the MGM Roundtable very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community, the community Imam W. Dame Muhammad, but also outside of our community and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight, I am so honored to have our guest panelists back with us after an absence of 4 months that I have invited. And we say that they are from from the ILTDP Institute. That's the way I have to do it by the acronym. This is the Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program Institute that our conveners have established. They worked on it for a long, long, long period of time, and last year they launched it. It's in fruition, and it is paying big dividends, and I'm so excited by having some of the outstanding students they have, and also one of our very learned imams in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, my good brother and friend, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali. And I wanted to extend the greetings, and hopefully all of you that's supposed to be on this panel have pressed 1, and Rashid Salam have opened up the mic, and I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to you. Assalamu alaikum.
Hey, Mark, can we have 718-334, push 1 on your phone, and 949-689?
Yes.
Put one on your phone, and I'm opening everybody else's mic up currently.
Okay, yes. Let me say this, Rashid. If you were on from the past program, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, if you had a comment or a question, I need you to press 1 and go out the queue so therefore we can keep the studio clear and our guests for the MGM Roundtable. It'd be easy for my engineer to see that. So press 1. If you would, and go out the queue. And so,
everybody's
please,
here.
Rashid, open that mics. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam.
Alhamdulillah. I think I heard 5 voices. So, you know, I got to do a little roll call here. And I know that the famous voice of Imam Dr. Bashir Ali. Are you with us, Dr. Ali?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brother.
Alaikum assalam, and, you know, welcome to the MGM Roundtable. Alhamdulillah, he keeps extending his record for most times appearing on the Roundtable. Alhamdulillah. And do I have Kimberly Spike with us?
I think Kimberly is going to be joining us in about 15 minutes
okay.
after the hour.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, so she's not quite with us. And do
right.
I have Nabia Aziz, my daughter, with us?
I'm here. Assalamu alaikum, everybody.
Alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. And do I have Omar Muhammad with us?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Omar, and welcome back to the MGM Roundtable. And last but not least, do I have Iman Imam Antoine with us?
Assalamu alaikum. I'm here. Thanks for having us.
Alhamdulillah, and welcome back to the MGM Roundtable here. And I'm going to let you all rest for a little bit while I talk to Imam Dr. Bashir Ali. And I know he's been a little under the weather. You know, I'm keeping you and I duas, and hopefully you're feeling a little bit better. So however long you can stay with us, it's going to be really a blessing to our whole radio listening audience. And I'm always aware, Dr. Ali, that we always have new listeners that maybe for whatever reason they haven't heard of this outstanding Islamic leadership training development program that has been established by the conveners of imams. And this has been a long time coming, a lot of work, a lot of effort has been put into this. And so finally, we have it. It has arrived, and this pilot program with the first to enter into it and all is actually in action and moving along. So I want to, first of all, extend the greetings again, once again, to you of Assalamu Alaikum, and welcome back to the MGM Roundtable. My first question is, how have you assessed it in terms of its first year, Dr. Ali?
Alhamdulillah, my dear brother, and thank you always for your beautiful, everything you do is quite beautiful for our community. You have an outstanding program, your beautiful spirit, and I'm under the weather, so I'll try to be
as brief
as I
can. I ain't going to put too much pressure on you tonight.
I'll try to be as brief as I can.
I'll wait till Ramadan.
No, I know, bless your heart. I'm just here to introduce our students and just kind of answer your question. We were very, very pleased with our first year of the program. As you might know, the IOTDP was created by the conveners of imams in conjunction with imams and scholars from around the country who gave us input and insight and helped us develop the curriculum over about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working over the last 4 years. This last year, we just completed our first year of classes. And alhamdulillah, we had 21 students to start and 13 students finished. And pray be to Allah, they did an outstanding job. Those that completed the first-year program did an outstanding job. It's a two-year program, and as you stated, it's a pilot. This first two-year module is a pilot. And so we're looking at all the curriculum. We're adjusting the curriculum. We're working with the students to make minor adjustments. And alhamdulillah, the good thing is you have some all-stars with you tonight. And we're quite pleased to let you know that they did an outstanding job. And it's a very rigorous program. I'm sure they'll tell you that. It's three courses. The three courses include community leadership, Islamic sciences, and Imam W.D. Muhammad Knowledge Body. And each course is given on a different night. We have our community leadership that's usually given on Tuesday night for about an hour to an hour and a half. Our classes sometimes run up to 2 hours because we have so much information and the discussion is so rich. We have our Imam W.D. Muhammad Knowledge Body classes run on Wednesday. That class is an online self-paced model, but the students do meet every other Wednesday to discuss the program, and so Wednesday is kind of set aside for that module. The third element is the Islamic sciences, which runs on Thursdays nights, and so we have three instructors. I teach the community leadership. Imam Mubashir Ukta is over the Imam W.D. Muhammad Knowledge Body. We have two professors. We have Imam Salahuddin Muhammad, who is the director of the Islamic sciences, and we have Imam Dr. Salahuddin Muhammad, who is one of the instructors. So we have four instructors. We have Imam Mikhail Shabazz, who coordinates our program and acts as our administrator as well. So that's how we've constructed the program thus far. We're about to enter the second year of the two-year cycle next week. So this week they're off, and inshallah, we hope they had a nice break over the last couple of weeks.
Well, alhamdulillah, you know, I guess my timing was perfect. I say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, not to me. You know, I was just thinking about it's about time to have these all-stars, as you said, and they are all-stars, and radio listening audience will get opportunity to hear them in a few minutes. And so Allah just guided me. He said, you need to call Imam Bashir Ali and invite you know, those students in this pilot program to come back after completing a full year. And now you tell me in another week or two you'll be starting a second class?
Yes, sir. The second year, the same students will continue on in their second year program, in the second year of the two-year program. Yes, sir.
Okay. That's good. Mm-hmm. Now, this leads to this question because, you know, no secret here, you know, using this platform to, you know, I'm 100% in support of this and really promoting this. This is an outstanding program. When you think about Islamic leadership, training, and development program, when you think about that, Islamic leadership, do we need Islamic leadership? Yes, we need Islamic leadership. Do we need training and development? Yes, we need training and development. And this is not for just imams, so get that out of your head. It's not just for imams. You'll find out tonight that there are some imams that's actually taking this program. This is really a building an institute, and this is something Imam Muhammad has asked. I got to ask you this question because I know it perhaps, Dr. Ali, on the minds of the people that are listening, how can they get in that? I want to at least get this type of information out first, and then we're going to go to our all-stars here. How can they get into that? And then have you worked out the dynamics, if you will, in terms of having the first-year students coming into the second year, and now you're going to have registration of new students that's coming in. Has that ended? Can people still get in? Is it time or what? Can you give us a little information on that, if you will, and then we're going to start to interviewing these outstanding students that you have. Dr. Ali?
Yes, right now we're going to focus just on our current students. And
okay.
We want to make sure we complete the pilot. And after we do the whole two-year cycle, others may have an interest, and we have what we call an auditing function, an auditing feature. And so that is flexible at this point. We haven't made a final determination on that. However, for the active students, we're going to focus on our active students, having mm-hmm. complete the two-year program, and then open it up to the whole community after the completion of the pilot.
Okay, if I'm understanding correctly, for those of you who may be interested, would it be safe to say, Dr. Ali, actually, a registration could be all for the whole year, signing up. Would that be safe to say?
We're going to be having special events over the year, special registration and information events over the year, probably 3 to 4, probably every quarter, to have a workshop or a registration event so we can actually have discussions with students and then prospective students, let them know what the expectations are. Have it develop a waiting list, build support for those students, because as you know, one of the challenges that we want to make sure that we address is one that students have prepared themselves for the rigor of the program. They set aside the time to be successful. One of the things we've discovered is some people thought this is just a normal program or it's pretty simple. But once they got involved, they saw how rigorous it really was. And I'll let the students tell you from their own experience that they have set aside at least 15-plus hours per week of study and time to do to complete their classes and to do their homework.
Alhamdulillah. So this is by no stretch of the imagination, this is no plaything. You have to be serious about actually doing that. And so time is of very significant in terms of devoting the time to that. Okay, then, I say, Dr. Ali, we really appreciate that information and everything. However long you can be with us, alhamdulillah, and if we have to defer a question to you, we will. But at this point, one other thing you'd like to say?
No, I'm happy to defer to the students at this point.
Okay, that's what the radio listeners are. Not that you don't matter now, you know. But
I'll pop back on to answer any questions. But I'll defer. I'll okay. defer to them and listen to
and
them.
And Holly, you hear ma'am, so they defer. Alhamdulillah. No, so, you know, and please, Rashid Salam, let me know when our beloved sister Kimberly actually.
Kimberly's on the line.
If she's on, please press 1 and come in. So I want to start with this here. You know, I always like to say ladies first here and everything, but I will be just using a round robin type technique. And whenever I have a panel, you all know, probably from the last time, you know, our theme is set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. So I'm always thinking, trying to think with the Quran all the time. And Allah says, in all your dealings, be fair and just. So even doing this, I want to be fair and just. You all have the same amount of time. Whatever question I ask, you won't be first all the time. You won't be last all the time, you know, but I won't be fair and just in terms of this, and I know all of you are outstanding students, and I know the radio listener is waiting to hear from you. I want to give opportunity because this is a different audience than you had the last time. There are some that are on here, but I know we got a lot of new listeners that's coming on, and they're not really so familiar with this program, but I want them to know who's speaking to them. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes. You don't have to take 2 minutes. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to kind of introduce yourself in terms of who you are, what you're doing now. And I'm going to start with my daughter, Nabiha Aziz. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the MGM Roundtable. Nabiha, you got 2 minutes. Who are you?
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. My name is Nabiha Aziz. I am a daughter of this community, an inheritor of this community. I am born and raised in Norfolk, Virginia, where I attended Masjid William Salam under the leadership of Imam Vernon Fareed, the late Imam Vernon Fareed. I lived in St. Louis, where I attended Masjid El Mu'minun, and currently I live in Baltimore, Maryland, where I attend the Muslim Community Cultural Center of Baltimore under the leadership of Imam Earl El Amin. I'm a student. I am a community organizer. I am a nonprofit deputy director. And I'm really excited to be here to talk to you all and to promote this excellent program.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. She stayed within 2 minutes, too. So, alhamdulillah. Is Kimberly Spike with us yet? And Kimberly Spite, if you're out there, press 1 so my engineer can see you. If not, we're going to go to our brother Omar Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum.
Is that Kimberly?
Kimberly, yes.
This is Kimberly.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm doing
wow.
fine. How are you?
Tell her press 1.
Great.
And so we want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable. Extend the greetings of peace to you. Assalamu alaikum. And so, Kimberly, we're just getting started here, and this is introduction time. I'm giving everybody 2 minutes to say who they are to our radio listening audience so they have an idea who's speaking to them tonight on the MGM Roundtable. So I want to give you your 2 minutes. Who are you, Kimberly Spite?
I am Kimberly Spate from Memphis, Tennessee. I'm a member of Masjid al-Mu'minun. Our email there now is email Waleed Shaheed, and previously email Rashad Sharif, and before him email Muhammad Amin. I was raised in the community my entire life, my siblings and myself. I am an educator, a parent. I have a nonprofit service organization. I am a member of the International League of Muslim Women. Incorporated, and I'm very glad to be here tonight and share with you all my experience with the Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program.
Alhamdulillah, thank you so much. You was under 2 minutes too, so this is good. I'm gonna have to stop. I'm gonna have to be counting seconds here. So alhamdulillah, thank you so much, Kimberly. And now we go to our brothers here, Omar Muhammad.
Who are you?
And
what would you like to, well, alaikum as-salam, what would you like to say to the radio listening audience in regards to yourself, Omar Muhammad? You got 2 minutes.
Yes. Yes, sir. My name is Omar Muhammad. I live in Charleston, South Carolina, and attend Masjid Al-Jami Al-Rashid in the city of North Charleston. Our resident imam is Edward Hamid Washington. And I am glad to be part of this panel today and share my experience about the ILTDP program. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Boy, y'all going to be easy tonight. So, alhamdulillah. And last but not least, my good brother and friend, Imam Antoine Banks. Who are you? And what are you doing, Imam Antoine? And you got 2 minutes.
As-salamu alaykum, and thanks for having us once again. I'm Antoine Banks from Peoria, Illinois. I'm Vice President of Mecca Center of Peoria under the leadership of Imam Bashir Ali, founder and president of Product of the Projects, which is a foundation. We include a community pantry, 3 5-module curriculums within our Peoria Public School District that include character development, soft skills, nutrition, wellness, and physical fitness. We also have a scholarship program and 3 events yearly. I also sit on numerous state and local boards, including the Local Advisory Council for Gun Violence and Prevention for the state of Illinois, and Racial Justice and Equity Commission for the Peoria City and County. Also a proud student of ILTDP. So thanks for having us.
Alhamdulillah. Wow. I tell you, you know, as you listen to these all-stars, you know, of this outstanding program, this institute here, you can see that they're actively involved in the community and everything, and they're taking on this workload, as you heard Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, in terms of reserving about 15 hours in a week, you understand, to really be serious and hunker down in terms of they study these courses. So I'm going to use a round-robin technique here, and I'm very much aware of the fact that Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, in terms of teaching Islamic leadership and community and all. And we'll start with that. And we're going to stay right there with you, Brother Imam. I mean, you're an assistant imam there, there at the Mecca Center there in Peoria, Illinois. And so I'd like to get from you something that you can share with the radio listening audience in terms of this course of study that you're getting in terms of Islamic leadership and community by Dr. Bashir Ali. And I want to give you maybe say 2 to 3 minutes to share something, you understand, with our community in these last 4 months, what it is that you've learned since the last time that you were actually here on the MGM Roundtable. You got anywhere from 2 to 3 minutes, and if you, I want to say to all of you, if you hear me say Alhamdulillah, that's a really polite way of saying, you know, you need to wrap up. I don't want you to stop in the middle of your sentence, but complete your thought at that time, okay? So we'll start with you, Imam Antoine. You got 2 to 3 minutes. What is it that you would like to share in terms of this course that you have with Imam Dr. Bashir Ali as your instructor?
Thank you. Thank you. Once again, I really enjoy the course. You know, I hear some of these things around the masjid all the time, but it's just the importance of relationships and community life that sticks out for me. The proper use of the democracy, Islamic democracy process of Amarun Shirbanahum, the important characteristics of a leader. You know, Imam W.D. Muhammad told us to choose a leader on character and then work with the know-how. So those are some of the things that we get to learn. We started out going through the 5 fitra principles that we were going through that led into now we're leading to the new creation, you know, from Farah Muhammad on going to Noble Drew Ali all the way up to where we are today to the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And it's just a beautiful opportunity for us to see our evolution from the the age of the slave trade and how intelligent we were in the age of the pyramids and how we have some of the same issues today. And we started to sell one another off and play the middleman to this middle passage of this African slave trade. So now, if you look at it, we have some of those same issues today. And learning that evolution of where we come from can be key in the clarity of where we lead and our vision is becoming a new creation.
Alhamdulillah. You didn't even take your full 3 minutes, but you said a mouthful there, Brother Imam. Thank you so much. And now we're going to go to our very distinguished brother, Omar Muhammad. In that same class that you're taking with Dr. Bashir Ali, what is it that you can share in this full year that you've been in that class? What is some things that you just didn't know that you learned in that class? You got up to 3 minutes, Omar.
Yes, thank you. I ditto all the comments that Antoine made. For me personally, what I get out of Imam Bashir's class is definitely a different perspective of the history of our community. My parents accepted Islam under the Nation of Islam, and I heard their version and their perspective and their experiences, right? But it's always good to hear other people's lived experiences and how it has shaped how they view not only al-Islam, but how they view the world in general. So I think Imam Bashir has done a really good job at compiling information that has really provided an insight for me on not only the community of Imam Worthy Muhammad, but also the experiences of Black America. Particularly, I enjoyed our study and examination of the enslaved individuals and the roles that African villages and African communities and tribes played a role in slavery, as well as we had an opportunity to discuss how the Muslim community participation, as well as their obligation to address this issue, failed those enslaved individuals. And we got an opportunity to talk about that. And we didn't dive too deep into that, but I really appreciated the insight of identifying, yes, the Muslim community in general, world from a global perspective, did fail the enslaved individuals when Allah really has tasked the Muslim community to address these injustices, and the Muslim community globally failed to do so. So that was one thing that I really took away from the class of this.
Alhamdulillah. You stayed under 3-2. Alhamdulillah. Excellent commentary. Now we want to go to our beloved sister, Kimberly Spike. What is it that you can share with our radio listening audience in terms of this outstanding course by Instructor Bashir Ali? Kimberly?
Absolutely. Thank you. It is such an excellent class, and I think that everyone should share their sentiments to their regard. I can reiterate the same thing that the two previous speakers shared about the lessons, and I think at their particular service, and I love those components. One of the things that stood out to me was being able to identify characteristics that stem from the past over the course of time in history, through the struggles, through the leadership, through the adaptations, through the monitoring and adjusting that our people have done from before slavery, who they were when they were living in their best selves, during the time of inventing things and discovering things and using mathematics and astronomy and the different sciences and connecting it to nature and creation and spirituality and seeing who they were in that moment and then observing what has occurred over the course of time through slavery, coming out of slavery and building ourselves up until the point of being in the community of Ibn Warith and Muhammad and being able to pull out from that who are we as people in the community of Ibn Warith and Muhammad as Muslims, as African-Americans who have had this long history, rich history, but also traumatic history, and being able to see how do you lead a people who have experienced all these different facets of life and ups and downs and highs and lows, and that it takes a special type of leader to look at this individual with all these different backgrounds and needs and be able to pull out the best from them so that we can have this establishment of a wonderful and productive Islamic community.
Alhamdulillah. Oh, wow. Very well said. Thank you so much, dear Sister Kimberly. Some excellent points there. And last but not least, Nabiya Aziz, what would you say about this particular course that you have with Imam Dr. Bashir Ali? You got 3 minutes. Nabiya.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Kimberly gave a good setup to what was very striking about me. In this course, the last time we were here, the key things that I have learned in this class are that everything is connected and that there is a lesson to learn from everyone and from every situation, as well as the power and the transformation that occurs when we become Quranic thinkers. So we learn a lot about the ancient Egyptian civilizations, some of the most brilliant people who have ever graced this earth. And for the most part, they were polytheists. However, despite them practicing the belief in multiple gods, what they were doing is they were connecting their spirituality and nature in order for them to explore their world. Everything that they did, those things that they built were all ways for them to connect their spirituality with the tangible things that they had before them on the earth. And as Muslims, that is also something that we should be doing. We should be connecting our faith to the natural creation that we can see and that we can touch and observe on a daily basis. Also, during the time of the Egyptians, this is when we saw our first version or our first variation of monotheism. So Akhenaten, historians credit him with being the very first monotheist. And it was not monotheism as we know it today, but it was one of the earlier versions of monotheism that we saw. Also, just through the course of history, the power when the Quran was revealed and people started to find the Quran, as the Quran traveled through communities, you could trace the spread of Islam and it connected with the spread of enlightenment and Renaissance. By having the Quran and exploring and studying the Quran, people were able to unlock doors on science, technology, architecture, art, culture. Like, it was just an explosion because the Quran encourages you to be a thinker. The Quran encourages you to tap into the nature and into your culture and to open up and to explore. So that is one of the things that I really enjoyed about this half of the year, is really seeing how the world can change and how the world did change as a result of having access to the knowledge and the information that is in the Quran.
I want to just say, talk Bia, Allahu Akbar. I mean, to all of you, I mean, wow. You know, make me want to get into class right away, and I wouldn't be qualified until another year from now. So, alhamdulillah, I want to thank all of you for that. I want to say to our radio listening audience that if you just tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, with your host, Mark Shaheed. And I have some all-stars from the Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program. This is a pilot program. And these are the first-year students, and they are giving a lot of insight, a lot of knowledge that they have learned in these various courses in their first year. And we're already off to a good start, so we are going to encourage you to press 1 if you have a question or comment. I have some set questions that I want to go through first, so if you be a little patient, but you can begin to start lining up so to give you opportunity to ask questions to any one of the panelists or maybe just even one of the panelists, maybe on some of the things that they've said, and they've said a mouthful already here. So we're going to continue on with this questioning, and we're going to look at the Imam, Dr. Salahuddin Muhammad, and we're going to start with you, Brother Omar Muhammad. Can you make the distinction in terms of what, and it's just so ironic that both of my names, Salahuddin Muhammad, one, I understand, is Dr. Salahuddin Muhammad, and the other one is Imam Dr. Salahuddin Muhammad. In terms of these courses that are being taught, and what specifically is actually being taught, and what is it that you actually have learned in this first year in that class? I'm starting with you, Omar Muhammad, and I'm going to give you 2 to 3 minutes, you know, being tops. Share with our regular listening audience what have stood out for you in this particular class, and what is it that, both from a teaching, make that distinction also, if you would. Omar?
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Yes, and both and Dr. Salahuddin and Imam Salahuddin's class, we're learning the sciences of Al-Islam. And basically, in that class, we're taking in-depth examinations of, first, it was the life example of Prophet Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did a really in-depth examination of his life from birth all the way to his death. And we had some interesting conversations about things that come up in our community around how do other Muslims perceive Prophet Muhammad, and how does the community of Imam Waqi Muhammad, you know, perceive, and how are there similarities and differences, right? So we had those conversations. And then just recently, this past semester, we did a deep study of the Quran and the order in which it was revealed. How do we dive deep into the Quran and why the Quran was revealed at certain periods of time, the essence of the revelation of the Quran. So those were the topics of discussions for both Imam Salahuddin and Dr. Imam Salahuddin's class, and I really enjoyed their class as well because it really parsed, right, the difference between the language and the understanding that our community has around those subjects and how things can be misinterpreted and how things can be misapplied because of misunderstandings of how other communities and culture creeps into understanding of these topics. So I really appreciated the information and the resources that they shared that shared a lot of insight in the topics that they covered.
Alhamdulillah, I really appreciate you giving that information. Man, I'm telling you, some substantive information that taught by Imam Dr. Salahuddin Muhammad and Dr. Salahuddin Muhammad. So alhamdulillah, thank you so much for that, Omar. And then we're going to move to Kimberly, Spike. And same question for you with the two instructors, Salahuddin Muhammad, in this class and in terms of Islamic studies. What have been the standout for you in this first year that you can share with the radio listening audience? So Kimberly, you got up to 3 minutes to share. I know you got a lot to give. Kimberly.
Yes, sir. In the Islamic studies classes, you know, as Muslims, we're taught to study and follow the Quran and the Sunnah of the life example of Prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, when we look at, and really that's what we've been looking at in this class, both of those, when we talk about the life example of Prophet Muhammad, we listen to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad and we read the Hadith, and sometimes we take it for face value, sometimes we try to interpret it, but really understanding the whys behind why the Prophet made the decisions that he did. Studying his life, the life of the Prophet, allows us to know what was happening in time when this particular portion of the Quran was revealed. What was happening when this decision was made? What was happening when we hear the telling of this particular hadith or the explanation of what's going on? It gives us a better understanding to the why behind. And so when we apply these things to our lives, we're able to understand the why. We're not moving in a particular motion just because of a hearing of this is the action of the Prophet. We want to really understand the meaning behind it so that it can be properly applied. And that's one of the things that we discussed there. Thinking about Aqidah, the Islamic creed, and when we say that these are the things that we believe in as Muslims, what exactly are those things? And what do they mean in depth? And are we really aligning ourselves to those particular components? And thinking about the Quran itself and the different interpretations, like the brother said before, how do all Muslims look at these? Do we look at these as things that we're doing from face value, or are we studying for understanding and applying the intelligence behind it to our lives? And I think that's the part that stood out best to me, is understanding the whys behind.
Alhamdulillah. I said, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Wow. That's all I can say is wow. Alhamdulillah, you know. And if you will, before I go to Nabiya, you use the Arabic term Aqidah. This is oftentimes you know, translated in terms of your beliefs. Anything else you'd like to say to that? So we have maybe say new Shahadas listening. We have non-Muslims that are actually listening. Kimberly, just take a few seconds, if you will, when you say Aqidah, give a little bit more in-depthness in regards to that term.
Absolutely. So the Islamic creed, what exactly is it that we believe in? So we know we have the five pillars of Islam that we're supposed to practice, but also what are the things that we're also asked to believe in? We're asked to believe in life after death, the day of judgment. We're asked to believe in the angels. We're asked to believe in the prophets and the books that were revealed to them. We're asked to believe in Allah, of course, as the all-powerful God and the sustainer of our lives here. And then not just saying these titles of things, but actually what are they? And what are the characteristics of each of those? And when we talk about the characteristics of them, when we say when we believe in life or death, what does that look like? What does that mean? What
what are the things that would get us into Jhana, into the paradise, or into Jhana, the hellfire, and what does that actually look like? We use catch terms, but then to go into deeper, to what does that mean? How is that explained to us? And so we spent a considerable amount of time to talk about what are the characteristics of the angel? What are the characteristics of the jinn? Are there particular ones? What do they do? What are they known for? When we have a good deed or a bad deed, what constitutes those things? And then and how do we earn ourselves a place in the paradise? And so we're not just talking about the titles of, but the conditions of, the characteristics of, how those apply to our everyday life, also how they apply to the long goal of living our lives as Muslims, dying in a state of peace and submission, and what is our reward after that.
Alhamdulillah. I just want to say you got an A on that quiz. Alhamdulillah. I radio listening audience to know that you are dealing with all stars here. This is only 1 year. 1 year in this course. 1 year. You see, I had a reason for asking that question so you can see the in-depthness in terms of knowledge, the insight which they're learning in regards to this Islamic education. Now we go to Nabia Aziz, this Islamic studies by Dr. Salahuddin Muhammad and Imam Dr. Salahuddin Muhammad. What is it that you have extrapolated in this year that really stands out for you? You got 3 minutes to give whatever.
All right.
You got a lot too, Nabiya.
I will take a long time, inshallah. So again, in our classes, my classmates have discussed for this year, we've learned about Sira, the biography of the prophet. We've learned about Islamic history, which included like the ascension of the caliphate and all of the leaders who followed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learned about the Aqidah, the Islamic creed, and we ended the year off with Ulum al-Quran, or the sciences of Quran, which is where I will land. I think that one of the things that I learned here, or one of the magnificent things that I learned this year, was just the wonder, the magnificence of the Quran, and the greatness of the person who brought the Quran to all of us, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A very small thing. So in the Quran, over 200 of the passages start with the word "kul." And what this is Prophet Muhammad, when he was given the revelation, our creator told him what to say. And not only did he share it back, but he told it back to us exactly the way it was given to him. He included the tell them part, you know, he included that piece. And that is so amazing, because if somebody tells you to say something, you don't say the say. But our prophet was so meticulous in transferring that message to us and making sure that the message that we got was pure and uncorrupted. And so that was something that really, really just spoke to me about how the Quran was revealed, and, you know, being able to know that you are getting those words, you know, almost directly from the source. So that was really beautiful. And just all of the different pieces and parts of the Quran that make it as unique as it is. The fact that there are, you know, some verses of the Quran that have restrictions on them, and they only apply under certain conditions. And there are some that apply under every condition. There are, as somebody spoke about,
the Meccan versus the Medinan verses, and, you know, knowing the context under which those verses were revealed has an impact on how you should interpret it. And then lastly, I'll say that what I really loved about this class is the understanding of how somebody can have a better understanding of the Quran generations down the line, or even in our example, as Americans getting Islam later down in a new, fresh form and looking at the Quran with fresh eyes, how you can have understanding that is better than the people who received it direct. Because when they received it in their language, they had different nuances and innuendo, and they're used to using the language a certain way, right? They have their own concepts of slang and things that they may add to it, but receiving the Quran at this point is fresh. You're looking at it with fresh eyes, with a clear understanding of the language, and it means that you're able to receive it in an entirely different way than the Sahaba may have received it. So those are some of the things that I gained from this half of the year.
Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. Oh, this is beautiful. This is really, truly, truly, truly beautiful. And, you know, last but not least, I haven't forgot about you, Ma'am Antoine. And I know you got a lot to say about this Islamic studies with these two outstanding instructors that you have on Islamic studies. So, Brother Imam, Antoine, you got 3 minutes.
I'll just camelback, well said by the rest of my fellow students. I'll just camelback off some of the things that they were saying. Both Dr. Sulayuddin and Imam Sulayuddin are great. As some of my colleagues said, we started with the life of the prophet, some of his historical events around his life and his evolution, Muhammad's early life, the beginning of the revelation, the events, the battles, some of the treaties, and important parts of the Muslim community establishing in Medina, which was important. But the most important thing that I took out of the life of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, was that he was a model and an example, but he was human. He didn't have any defined power, so as leaders, that lets us know that human excellence is possible if we follow the Uswa, the Prophet. We move forward to a key, which was the creed and belief in Allah, belief in the scriptures, the angels, the different schools of Akita, you know, and stuff in Imam Quran, which is the sciences, as the sister said. We went through the different tafsirs, the Quran. We spoke on some miracles, the differences in the
You're breaking up a little bit there, Brother Imam. Get a little closer to your mic there. You're breaking up a little bit, or you might want to move to another area. Not getting good reception there.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you. Good. You're coming in good.
Okay, great. But I would just say we ended it, you know, with the sciences of the Quran and, you know, the arrangement of the Quran, some of the miracles, the difference within the Hadith. It just is a great to dial down into some of these good great concepts within the Quran and get a better understanding. You know, with us learning, we know the Quran is a revelation, and we need to live according to this and the Uswa, the Prophet. And it's just great to be able to dial down and get a better understanding.
Alhamdulillah, say Allahu Akbar. You know, a lot of things that you said very, very important. And this is something that we need to know in terms of the revelation of the Quran, how when it was revealed, if some of you haven't figured it out yet, as we have the Quran today, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was guided to put it together as we have received it today. But there was circumstances and situations and conditions in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he received revelation. And the revelation always came on time. You know, you hear that saying, God is always on time. Not when you may say you want him, but he's always on time. And that's so very, very important in terms of the historic context, in terms of when revelation came to the Prophet Muhammad, in terms of even guiding him, even in his time, but is also relevant to our time. The Quran is always relevant, you know, even to our time. So many valuable things has been said in regards to that. I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you just tuned in late, you are still listening to IWDM Radio. You're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable with your host, Mark Shaheed, and our outstanding guest from the Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program. And they are all stars. And as you hear them tonight, if you are one of the pioneers or elderly people in that community, your soul should be happy to be hearing this. And this is after 1 year, just 1 year. They got a whole year to go. So we are giving them this exposure so that you can hear. If you're thinking about sponsoring somebody, or maybe there's no age limit, you might be thinking about getting into this course, taking this course. It's very reasonably priced and everything. And I know there's a lot of things that many have not learned. Actually, this is like a learning lab tonight. You're just getting a sample of this. Because, you see, I'm putting a time limit on all of them and what they can say. They could say a lot more. But this is just an appetizer tonight. And so by us having that, we want to go to my good brother and friend, Imam Upta, in terms of the language body of Imam Warith Uddin Muhammad. And I know it's a lot of information that has been disseminated there. And if I'm not mistaken, Kimberly Spate, I think you're going to be the one to take this first question in regards to that. What have you learned in this first year in terms of the knowledge body of Imam W. Dean Muhammad? I once heard him say that what you're looking at him physically, that's not him. So there's a knowledge body that he has left for us in this community, not only for this community, but really for the whole world. And I heard him say that what he has left will be around for at least a minimum of 1,000 years. Some of you may not have heard that, but Imam Muhammad said that. So a minimum of 1,000 years of this knowledge body that Imam Warith Uddin Muhammad has left with us. Kimberly, please talk to us 2 to 3 minutes, if you will. What is it you learned in that particular by Imam Uftar's class?
Well, I'm going to tell you that we don't have enough time tonight.
Well, Kimberly, just do your best. I know it's going to require some discipline. Restrain yourself. Just give them a little appetizer. Give them a little appetizer and all. And I promise I'll bring it back and everything where you have more time and everything. But just give them a little appetizer. See what they've been missing had they not been listening, okay? Kimberly.
Absolutely. Well, let me say that Imam Warith Uddin Muhammad's tafsir and his interpretation of Quran and the application for our community is amazing. It's outstanding. It is definitely something that when we say it is for us as a community, it is definitely for our mind, for the people of our experience. And not everybody agrees with it. However, not everybody has our experience. And so one of the things that I have been able to identify is how well it speaks to the membership of our community and can be applied to all people at the same time. And that's very significant. One of the last things that we discussed was ritualism in Islam. And specifically when we start talking about the practices that we have with Salat and Wudu, the movements that we make, the steps of making the Wudu itself. So we learn to do that. We learn to go through the motions of the Wudu. We learn to go through the motions of the Salat. And, you know, we teach our children that. We teach adults. We teach the those that have accepted Islam later in their lives to apply these practices. And do we know why we are doing it? You see, that's a big theme across all of the classes. It's not just learning material, but understanding why. Why is this the way it is? Why was this prescribed for us? Why is it in this particular way? What is the broader meaning of it? And we are told to look at the deeper meaning and apply it to the greater good. So looking at why do we wash our face? Why do we wash our left or right hand? Why do we make sajda or ruku? Of course, we're doing these things because we were directed to do those things by Allah, and we see it in the practice of our Prophet's life. But what was the true meaning behind those things? And I think that when you get us to thinking on a deeper level, just the fact that you begin to understand how something so simple as a move to signify a community can signify something broader in your own life, then it builds your understanding of the religion, of Islam. It builds your character and your spirit.
Alhamdulillah. I say takbir. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. So it's not just a ritual. So Sister Kimberly is saying some of us just perform the salat, the wudu, and everything, just a ritual. But all these things that we are dressing on the body, even the position, they all have significance. And it leads to social significance. So thank you so much, Kimberly, for that. And now we go to Nabia Aziz. Give us, in about 3 minutes, if you can, restrain yourself, Nabia, and in terms of what did you learn from this knowledge body of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad? I'm quite sure there's been a lot that you picked up in this particular class by Imam Ufta. Nabia, 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yes, sir. One of the things that I learned this year is just about, and not just in this class, really in all of our classes, is being aware of the different signs that Allah has left for us, the different ayat. So we have the ayat in our scriptures. We also have signs in our creation. We have signs in our rituals, as Kimberly just pointed to. And we have signs in the Uswa of Prophet Muhammad. And I think that at the high level, what we've really been learning is that we should be studying everything around us and extrapolating the wisdom of all of the things, because everything that is here on this earth, everything that's in the Quran, all of the examples that we have, good, bad, indifferent, those are all signs from Allah, and that we should be digging into those things to try to see what it is that we can pull out, what are the good things from Allah that we can use to make ourselves better and that we can use to help to make humanity better. So in one of our classes, we talked about those four focus areas of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, of, you know, reading the signs in creation, the signs in scripture, the signs in religious rituals, and the signs in the Uswa of the Prophet. And I will stay there for a brief second on the Uswa of the Prophet. A lot of times in the Muslim community, we hear people dwelling on the Sunnah, right, which is what the Prophet did. But in our community, we really focus on the Uswa of the Prophet, which is a little bit deeper than just what he did. It's deeper than did he wear sandals?
You know, did he eat with his right hand or his left hand? It's a little bit deeper than that. It really drills down on the reason why Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reasons why he did the things that he did, and where we can find that in the Quran for why he would have done those things. And as followers of the Quran and of the Prophet, we should be trying to embody that character and that why. We should be trying to embody why he did what he did instead of just copying what he did. So that is what I gained from this year.
Alhamdulillah, I say Allahu Akbar. Now, Nabiya, I got to ask this question because, you know, we have some new Shahadas that are listening. They've been invited to listen tonight. We got some non-Muslim. So when we say Uswa, you know, how would you very in a simplistic way describe Uswa? And it needs to be noted to our radio listening audience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, in the Quran, he only spoke about two uswas. We know that of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Give a very simplistic definition, if you would, of uswa.
Simply, I would say the uswa is the spirit of why a person may do the things that they do. So, you know, our Prophet, Ibrahim, you mentioned, you know, he asked God to prove it, right? He asked God to give him a little bit more understanding, but that wasn't a challenge to our Creator. His heart was pure, and he said, no, I believe you, and I just want to understand a little bit better. So show me how I can, you know, help me make it make sense, right? So what was the spirit of why he asked those questions? What was the spirit of his searching and digging and saying, you know, this is the biggest thing that I can see. Maybe that's my creator. Oh, wait, this thing is even bigger. Maybe that's my creator. That kind
right,
of searching.
Right.
And so likewise with Prophet Muhammad, what was the spirit behind the reasons why he did the things that he did? So uswa is that spirit, that intentionality that leads you to do a thing. And that's what we want to mimic. We aren't trying to mimic, you know, those minor details of what a person does, because at the end of the day, all of our prophets, they're people. Prophet Muhammad was a man, right? He was a man, and that means that he, you know, was not without flaw or without error, because he was a human being. And that is our natural to be, you know, to have flaws, to have error. But his spirit was uncorrupted. His heart was pure. And that's
right.
What we should be striving for. We should not be striving for perfection. We're never going to get it. If we strive for perfection, we're setting ourselves up to fail. We should be striving for excellence. And as Muslims, everything that we do, we should be striving to do it in the most excellent way.
Alhamdulillah. No, very well said. And you know, I would like to say this to our radio listening audience in terms of, Nabiya was saying, the excellence in the character, the excellence in the character. And this is why Imam Muhammad put a lot of emphasis in regards to it, as she said, in terms of the spirit. He never, his original nature, the fitra, was never spoiled in the Prophet, was never spoiled in the Prophet, even though he was living in the time of Jahiliyyah, darkness and ignorance of the people. He never partook in that. So he had an excellent character, an excellent model. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he was an excellent model in terms of the type of spirit and character that we should have as a human being. And Imam Muhammad put a lot of emphasis on that, more so than the Sunnah. Why? And the Sunnah is not in the Quran. There's a reason why. Because Sunnah can and will change depending on circumstances and conditions. You know, there's a lot to be said about that. Thank you so much, Nabiya. Very well said. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. And now we're going to go to Imam Antoine, you know, that same question. In terms of this language body, what is it that you can share with our radio listening audience when it comes to the language body of Imam W.D. Muhammad? You got 3 minutes. Brother Imam, Antoine.
Thank you. First, we'll start off just talking about the importance of language. As you know, Imam W.D. Muhammad said, words make people. And that's very important for us as leaders to also follow the Uswa, the prophet, but use the proper language, because personal relationships is important, and it starts with language. I would say that we learn about studying of creation, as my fellow classmate said, which is the mother book. And that really sticks out to me, because if you look at the creation and study creation, it leads you back to the revelation of the Quran. And as we see it, we study creation, we see that everything submits to the will of Allah, the maidens, the seasons, the trees, except the human.
Yeah.
We have free will, and that free will, and we don't stay within our discipline and the rituals, that we can go off the straight and narrow, the Sirat al-Mustaqim, as we know. So studying creation is very important. We had the opportunity to study the source of the Quran, like the Prophet Muhammad is a source. We went through also the meaning and the reading of parables and metaphors, as we all know is important as stories in the Quran, such as Moses and Kidr and the four birds. Imam Muhammad told us, broke the four birds down into four major influences of education, government, business, and culture. So that parable is important to understand so that we can translate into leadership here today. We went on to the rituals of Al-Islam and the wisdom. And Sister Kimberly was talking about evolution and how to break those down, and then the importance of these steps within that ritual. The last part of it, which was really great, of the week that we ended on in progression 16, was the understanding and the following of the Uswa, the prophet, and the sunnah. So it's so great to hear Sister Nabiya elaborate on that, because it's so important for us to follow the revelation tied in with the study of the creation and the Uswa, the prophet. And those three parts give us direction as Muslims. So it's great to be able to dial down in these concepts help us live the Quran and the words of Imam W.D. Muhammad from the inside out. And so that's a blessing.
Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Imam Antoine. And now, last but not least, and get ready, radio listening audience, because after this, after Brother Omar share his insights and what he learned from this language body, it's going to be your turn. So please line up, and I want to thank you for being patient. Brother Omar Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
That you got in this class, and I know you learned a lot, but you got 3 minutes to give it. Omar.
I understand. Yes, what I learned from the knowledge body of Imam Worthy Muhammad is first, we began the class by studying how the knowledge was revealed. And it was interesting that we talked about the knowledge being contained in what is called the mother book. And that was a new language for me, right? So being able to wrap my kind of thinking around this idea that the knowledge that Allah has revealed is contained in a mother book was new. So I had to really struggle and kind of really land on why this language is being used. And I really appreciated the justification using the language of Imam Worthy Muhammad to explain these concepts that can be alluding to us at times. We studied in this class what is the difference between abstract concepts that are in the Quran and concepts that are, allegorical, those things that's up for interpretation that needs some additional explaining. We talked about many of the allegorical stories in the Quran and the significance and how we can apply them in our everyday lives, right? How can we take these allegorical stories that are in the Quran and be able to bring them down to language that we can apply to our daily lives and make our conditions and situations better. We also, in this class, got a very good, understanding of why the Imam use certain terms and the language. And then not only the language that he used, why did he choose a specific language? Why did he choose a specific concept that he was bringing? Like, for example, model community, right? Why did the Imam use this language around model community? It's because Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a model individual that established model communities that brought stability to his community, that brought a lot of advancement to society. And if we can do the same type of work by building these model communities, then we become examples, just like Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is an example for us and the world. We become examples now of model communities for the world to emulate. So I really gained a lot of insight on the knowledge base, the knowledge body of Imam Worthy Muhammad, and I'm really excited about what we're going to learn this next year in these courses.
Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. You just got up under that 3 minutes, but you did an excellent job. I want to say takbir, Allahu Akbar, to all of you all that have given this wonderful information. What an appetizer that you've given. I know our radio listening audience should be full and be curious to want to know more. So now, this gives opportunity. I'm going to ask our radio listening audience, press 1. Those press 1, and we'll take you in the order of your calls. Those who listen by way of the internet, we're aware that you're out there. For you to participate, you do have to call into the studio. That number is 714-816-4673, 714-816-4673. You have to call in, and Rashid Salam will let me know. I know I'm really, really satisfied in what I got. I can't even think of a word better than satisfied. Perhaps I will before this is over with. Rashid Salam, do we have any hands up in the air? I know that the listening audience, either they got questions, they got comments, or if this information is resonating with them in terms of Islamic leadership, training and development program. This is an institute, it's a pilot program, but I say it's taken off, and it's taken off, and we can hear these very learned, soon-to-be scholars. And what I'm hearing is scholarly insight. As Imam Muhammad said, a scholar is not one who learns and repeat what they've learned. A scholar is one who learns and who improves upon what they've learned. That's what I'm hearing tonight, scholarly insight. Rashid Salam, do we have any hands in the air?
Yes, sir. First, let me say assalamu alaikum to the learners and scholars. I have to say that, and particularly to my brother Omar, because myself and Omar worked together with Grace Lyon Federal Credit Union. So
connection.
Yes, sir. So I want to let me bring in one of our callers tonight. We have 773-449. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
I know who that is.
Assalamu alaikum. Oh, God.
Assalamu alaikum. Who are you, that famous voice? Who are you and where you calling from? And what do you have to say to our distinguished panel?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amir Muhammad from Chicago. I am so happy that Mark shared with me what the title would be for tonight, and I even made a lot of efforts to text as many people that was on my contact list as I can. I said, with the title that he gave me, I said, we have to know. We have to be a part of this audience. And I thank Allah so much for the sharing and the commitment that everyone that's on this panel has. And only thing I could say, Allah, is that Imam Muhammad said, give him a good future, and that's what I see coming from these panel members. And I thank you for your commitment and your time that you put in to learn and to be able to share our future. I'm what they would call a senior, and I'm just so happy to know what our young people are doing and their commitment to humanity. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum as-salam. And thank you, Amir Muhammad, you know, for calling. That's one of my core listeners, want to say to our panelists, and very supportive of IWDM Radio and the various productions that we have. Thank you so much, Amir. Please press 1. Rashid Salam, how many hands do we have in the air? So I can kind of calculate in my mind what I need to do here.
Well, at this point, Mark, I think everybody's like me, stuck to the, like looking at the TV. I'm stuck to the program. Yeah, it's so outstanding.
Well, Rashid
so
Salam, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I want to encourage you now. This is your opportunity. If you got a question or comment, just like Amir Muhammad, because you heard a lot, and you've heard a lot, and I know a lot of it you didn't know. Let's say, let's own up to it. We just didn't know these things. And these all-stars that we have from this institute, they really are given a lot in just a short period of time that I'm giving to them. This is just an appetizer of what you can learn. It's an obligation to learn this deen. It's an obligation to practice the deen. The more you understand and know the deen, then the better you can practice the deen. As you heard them say, you understand how this is relative. So, Rashid Salam, I know you always got something to say and always got something to ask and contribute. So I'm going to give you opportunity. Rashid Salam, what do you have to say in regard to this?
I'm going to give this hand this raise options over me because I know the listening audience have something to say. Let me say this. We have 810. I'm coming back. Don't worry about me. You know I'm going to come back.
Okay.
810-399. Please state your name. Tell us where you call me from.
I know that number.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Mark Shaheed, your distinguished panel. And, of course, you, Brother Rashid Salam. And this is the Preacher Hadi.
Alaikum as-salam, the Priest of Hadi, one of my very distinguished hosts, my sister station, AM 360. She hosts an outstanding production there each and every Saturday night, and it's titled Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. It's designed for new Shahadas and the Barmaha language for seasoned Muslims, seasoned believers, and for those who may just be interested in learning about Al-Islam, the basic and fundamentals there. You want to tune in. That's each and every Saturday night on our sister station, AM 360 Radio. And it starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. That call-in number is 515-605-9891. 515-605-9891. That's each and every Saturday evening on the sister station, AM 360 Radio. The Priest of Hadi, what do you want to say or what do you want to ask? I'm quite sure you had a good feeling tonight just on this appetizer.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so kindly, Brother Mark, for sharing that information about my program. But I just had a quick comment I wanted to make to your panel. You know, this is a wonderful thing that Imam Bashir Ali has constructed this type of institute. You know, this is perfect. This is just perfect. Yeah, for the seasoned Muslims as well, but these new Shahadas, they need this information. This is a foundation for coming into Islam. And I really appreciate you sharing. You always have such good programs, and we certainly appreciate getting this type of information. And may Allah just continue to bless us all in the work that we're doing. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum as-salam. Thank you so kindly, the Priest of Hadi. We always appreciate you and being supportive of this particular production here on WDM Radio. And Rashid Salam, any other hands in there?
Well, I'm on my hand.
I'm going to speak now forever, hold their peace, because I know you got something to say.
Yeah, I just wanted to commend them all on the effort that they put forth. I just want them to comment, not just for me. I have two students from my class who's on the phone, and I just want you to share with them about what you have to do to make this kind of commitment, the patience that you have to have, and more importantly, how do you manage your time in the vicissitudes of everything that goes on in our lives? If you can just share with us that, because a lot of us probably need to know that, not just people who are in school, but just managing your life, because this is a life management situation.
Yeah, so alhamdulillah, that's an excellent question. I'm going to just give them 1 minute. Each one can take 1 minute or less in terms of that for the sake of time. I don't want to hold them too long. But I'm going to start with you, Brother Imam Antoine. You know, how do you do this? I mean, you know, from the very beginning, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali has said that you all devote at least 15 hours, maybe more, or what? Who knows? But the commitment. This is what Rashid Salam is saying. Can you give any insight to that, if you would? One minute.
Yeah, I would say that it started out as all of us kind of underestimated the rigor of the program, but the program has endless benefits. I mean, it's adding to our mission and purpose. It's allowing us to live the deen inside out. You know, it's a life-changing experience. It's the tools for the human excellence that Imam W.D. Muhammad always speak about. And I'm blessed to be a part of this pilot program, and it also connects us with the believers. It gives us a new family, young believers with the same goal. It's adding value to my daily life. It's increased my God consciousness, my knowledge, and that right there gives me the dedication to keep seeking more knowledge. And we have prolific professors, you know, and it's great to just be a part of it. So we had to make major adjustments to make it happen, but it's well worth it. And I'm about 10 to 16 hours a week of studying, but that studying time makes you a better Muslim, because now you have class 3 times a week, you got the rituals of Islam, and now you study in the deen 10 to 15 hours, so you have no choice but to become, inshallah, a better Muslim. So,
Alhamdulillah, very well said. You went over a minute, though, but that's okay. You know, I appreciate you, because when I was in Washington, D.C., you escorted me to the men's room, so I give you those extra seconds. Alhamdulillah. All right. Brother Omar, 1 minute, the question that Rashid, how are you able to do that, man? You have to be doing some juggling there and prioritizing, I would think. Omar, 1 minute.
Yes, you definitely have to do some prioritizing and rearranging of activities. But just like we have the importance of education outside of the Islamic studies, we equally have to prioritize the study of our religion. And like all of us, we have many things that we are doing, but I felt, from a personal level, I felt that I needed to commit to understanding a religion that I say is a way of life for me to apply, for me to understand, for me to be able to become a better version of myself. And this class allows me the time to be able to do that.
Alhamdulillah. Very well said there, Brother Omar. And now, Kimberly, you got a minute. How are you able to juggle this, and has it turned your life inside out, upside down, or what? Kimberly, share your secret. That's what Rashid's asking. Share your secret.
Share my secret. Scheduling is extremely important, but I think, like Antoine mentioned, Brother Antoine mentioned, that there – because it's something that benefits your life so much that it is something that you want to do. It's not just something that you have to do. And I've said before that there is a difference in approach to something that you really want to do versus something that you have to do. It fits in with my mission, my personal mission, my purpose, and as a human being, as a person, I'm a mother. So I definitely see how this can influence not myself, not just myself, but those around me as well. And for that, it's such a great benefit that you prioritize it as number one priority, something that you see how it can benefit yourself, the people around you, and obviously the community, because that's the whole purpose of community leadership.
Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. So thank you for that. And last but not least, Nabiya, I already know you were already busy before undertaking this. So give them that wisdom, what they got to do. I mean, if they really, really are serious about this. Nabiya, you got 1 minute.
Yes, sir.
You set me up for what I was going to say.
I set you up. I know I set you up. I know I'm going to hear about it later. I set you up.
Oh, no. So the first thing I'll say is that I am still a work in process. But what I was reading a book recently, and it said that busyness is the most common form of laziness. Because if you're busy, then you're too busy to take care of your health. You're too busy to go for the masjid. You're too busy to make your prayers on time. You're too busy for all of the things that should have a higher priority in your life. And so I think that one of the things you have to do in order to be successful in this program is that you have to go through your schedule and all of these commitments that you have made, and you have to clear out some of the things that are lower priority. And it doesn't mean that those things aren't important or that they aren't good things, but you really need to clear out the clutter that may exist in your life in order to make space for something that can tremendously open up your world.
Wow. I just have to say, you know, Nabiya, I'm serious that when you said that, it just did something to me. I almost want to say, can you say that again? can you give us just a little synopsis of that once again in terms of the clearance of what it is that you have, and a lot of it's just clutter, and then how many of us just waste time and we don't have anything to do with it, and we're not prioritizing time. We have to state what's important to us, what's really important to us. My grandmother used to always say, whatever's important to you, you will have to find a way or make a way and make time for it if it's important enough.
And we all do. Your priorities are very clear in the things that you give your time to. And I think that sometimes we see ourselves in a certain way, but when you look at your priorities, do your priorities reflect the person who you believe you are or who you say you are?
Alhamdulillah. That's very well said. And we know here in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, we heard it from him. We heard it from his father. It was exemplified by the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah has said it first and foremost, that education is the number one priority. I'm going to say that again. Education is the number one priority. And just as I said, Imam Muhammad said it to us. His father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said it. And Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he showed it in his life in terms of the importance of education, even to the point of those who became captives. If they would teach, one of the Sahabas how to read, how to write, and everything, they could get their release. I don't know if they've taught that in Islamic studies, but if they haven't, they're going to get to it. And Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he received the first of the revelation that's actually conveying education. Iqra, read. Allah said it first. Al-Fatiha opens the Quran. But the first revelation is Surah 96. Oh, y'all don't get me fired up because, you know, as a student of the Imam, I can teach a little bit myself, but I won't do that tonight. So, anyway, last but not least, I want everybody to have a closing remark. I'm going to give you 1 minute to do that. Please take 1 minute to do that. I'm going to start with our very distinguished Imam, Antoine. We got 1 minute. What would you like to leave with the radio listening audience? And primarily, why should you enroll in this course? You got a whole year to enroll in that. So that's my question to you. What would you leave the radio listening audience why they should enroll in this program? Imam Antoine.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me once again. And as I spoke, it's great to be a part of a new family of believers. And we have discussed some of the curriculum from each of the different courses, and you can see the effect it's having on all of our lives as leaders. And in leaders, we're facing that we are to get out the four walls of the masjid and get out into the community And these courses are giving us what we need to be productive and share the universal principles of Al-Islam out. So I just think that it's important for us to continue to evolve as Muslims. The course is great for that, and it's great for the clarity of your vision. You know, it gives us greater clarity, and I think that it's just great for us to have a, like I said earlier, all of us to be able to connect and grow together. So I would just say continue to make dua for us, and anyone that's interested in it, you know, we're available to speak more on it, but at the same time, you also can listen in on some of the courses and see what you get out of it.
Alhamdulillah, thank you so much, and, you know, it's an honor to have you, Imam Antoine. You know the door is going to be open for you to come back here. Next time we come back, I'm going to ask all of you all if y'all are available for speaking engagements and all. You think I'm kidding, but I am very, very serious. Thank you so much. Brother Omar,
you got
1 minute. Would you like to leave our radio listening audience? What would you like to say in terms of this institute that you are part of, this pilot programming? And why should somebody want to really take this after just getting the appetizer tonight, Omar? You got a minute.
Yeah. Yes, sir. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that we learn from the cradle to the grave. So this program gives us the opportunity to do exactly that. This class helps us to learn things that we may have forgotten, or things that we have not, subject matters that we may not have reviewed in a while. So it helps us to get back in tune with that information and relearn some things that perhaps we may have forgotten. It reinforces what we already know. And some things that we may be misunderstanding, right? So it reinforces the concepts and the ideas and the importance of the role that Al-Islam plays in our life. It strengthens within us our religion. It strengthens in us what we believe in, what we are working towards in becoming a better version of ourselves. It empowers us, right? It empowers us to be better human beings. It empowers us to be better parents, better leaders. And then it helps us to grow into our purpose of being human beings, our purpose of being leaders, our purpose of being part of the human society. And then lastly, it helps us to continue the legacy of Imam Worthy Muhammad. When we incorporate his language into everything we do, we become better communities.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Very well said, Omar. Appreciate you. And you know you got an open door policy, too, to come back here to IWDM Radio. Going to be looking forward to you coming back. Kimberly, what do you have to say in 1 minute? And, I already know that you all are already teachers, educators, and leaders. And I'm going to tell you why after... after Nabiya speak. So you got 1 minute, Kimberly. What do you like to leave the radio listening audience, and why should they be really interested in terms of signing up this year, getting ready for the second class to come in, I would say in 2024? Kimberly, 1 minute.
Yes. Thank you so much. I think the previous two speakers have said exactly what I would want to say. And so I won't repeat those. The only thing that I would add is the significance and the power of having a cohort of people, of like-minded people who are striving in the same direction as you are, who are dedicated to learning this information, not just for the sake of learning it, but for the sake of bettering themselves and bettering the community. That is what has been very significant for me in this endeavor, is to build a network of people from not just my area, but all over the country that have like minds and have like purposes, and I can lean on for
a deeper understanding, for discussion, for collaboration, but also for ideas on how I can better my community, but we can help each other do the same thing in our own areas and collaborate to be more impactful to our local and greater community.
Alhamdulillah, very well said, Kimberly. Thank you so much. And you have an open door policy here at IWD and Radio. We're going to get you back. We're going to have, like you say, going to have more time. I'm going to make sure you have a lot of time next time. And last but not least, Nabiya Aziz, you got a minute, you understand, to tell the people why they need to be interested either in themselves becoming a part of this, registering, or maybe even sponsoring somebody in their local masjid or Islamic center. And then I'm going to keep it right there after that. I would like for you to give the information in terms of contact, maybe say a website and everything, if you would. You know, I'm putting a lot on you. I know I'm going to hear about it later. But you can have it. Nabiya Aziz, you got a minute for that and a minute for something else.
All right. Again, thank you for having us on today. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. ILTDP. So I, it's Islamic-based learning. Everything that we're learning in the class is supported in the Quran and supported by the Uswa of Prophet Muhammad. Leadership. Muslims through the course of history have been leaders in science, mathematics, architecture, medicine, medical ethics, art, everything you can think of. So if Allah has chosen you to be Muslim, then you are a leader, but you have a responsibility to some leadership. Training. This program is training us on the knowledge body of Imam Warsi Muhammad. Development. Develop yourself. Learn something new. Correct something that you thought you knew. And expand on the things that you confidently know, right? Develop yourself. Programming yourself for excellence. Peace. This is something that is consistent. It's regular. When we have our break, sometimes I'm like, well, wait, what do I do? You know, we're programmed to be in this class at a certain time and regularly digging into what our faith tells us and what we believe in. So those are the reasons why not, right? What reason do you have to not participate in this program unless you say, well, I want to save a seat for somebody who is an up-and-coming leader, a younger person, target audiences, 25 to 45. So the only reason I can think of why you wouldn't sign up is if you're trying to save a space for a young person. And if that is you, please donate. Please help cover the cost of tuition for somebody else so that we can make sure we have a full class when we start up the next cohort and that there is not a financial burden that keeps people from receiving this excellent knowledge. I hope I didn't go over.
That's all right. I'll let you go over. You'll hear about it. But, you know, I'm so proud. That's my daughter. And you can see how smart she is, how smart Kimberly is, how smart Omar is, how smart Imam Antoine is. I am so proud of all of you. I'm so very proud of all you. I can't find the words to express how proud I am, you know, being a senior, being a pioneer in this community, 55 going 56 years. My soul is happy. My heart is pleased to know that you're answering the call of Imam Muhammad in terms of giving him a good life. You all have learned in this religion. After a year, you've learned. And I hear the enthusiasm. I hear the zeal in your voice to want to continue to learn. You know, it's so important that you become a student of the Quran. You all are students of the Quran. You're students of the life, for example, of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you're students of Imam Warsiuddin Muhammad. You can't ask for anything more. If that doesn't inspire our radio listening audience, I don't know what can and will inspire you, and especially if you're wearing the label of Muslim, the content has to be that of Muslim. If you're wearing the label of Mu'min, a believer, then you have to have the content of that. If the question is asked, do you believe in Allah? I'm quite sure those of you who are listening, your hands would go up in the air. I believe in Allah, but do you believe Allah? That's where the Quran comes into play, because if you believe Allah, that means you have to become a student of the Quran. You have to become a student of the life example of the Prophet in living the Quran, and you have to become a student of Imam Waisuddin Muhammad, who's a scholarly teacher and leader in teaching the tafsir, the clear explanation in the Quran, and also the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these young people have done that, and I'm so proud of them. I can't find the words to say, only to encourage them to continuously go on, because you've been groomed as leaders in this community and to teach this community. I would love to hear any of you all at any time in terms of coming to St. Louis. Maybe we can make that arrangement and all. You know, I got a few bucks, not much, but maybe I can pay half the fare or something, you understand? Because you're going to need to help, you understand, to inspire and motivate this community. You exemplify what Imam Muhammad, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what Prophet Muhammad, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, have said in education being our number one priority. I want to thank all of you all, and you know you got an open door policy here at IWDN Radio, and particularly at the MGM Roundtable. As long as I'm here, you always going to be welcome here. We'll be looking forward to getting you back and for you continuously sharing with our community. May Allah continue to bless all of you richly. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. All right. Yeah, alhamdulillah. You know, we want to thank the, this concludes tonight's programming here on IWDN Radio, but we want you to know that the beat goes on here on IWDN Radio, as tomorrow is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir out of the Jewels of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. This will be a fifth in the series on communication, correct communication. If you tune in tomorrow, you're going to hear some role-playing. I don't know how good my acting skills are. I've done it before in the past. But you're going to get a chance to witness Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheed playing the role of husband and wife and communicating with each other in the wrong way. And then we're going to turn around and do it the right way. And with all the information that we have provided for you in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, it's going to be an open book. Quiz and tests, you're going to become the critics. You're going to tell us what we did wrong, and you're also going to have to be able to tell us what we did right. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDN Radio. And Friday is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide, and those who are immobilized and can't get out and about, we ask you to come back to IWDN Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer, for Salatul Jumu'ah. It starts each and every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDN Radio. The longest-running production is every Sunday afternoon, Words Make People. Sounds familiar? Words Make People, once again with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sayer. It happens every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDN Radio. At the beginning of the week, the very distinguished Rashid Salam and his co-host, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. This is a learning lab. You do have to bring your pen and pad, a lot of great terminology. And this happens each and every Tuesday at the beginning of the week for IWDN Radio. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab with Rashid Salam. And so this brings us back to tonight, as this is Wednesday night always, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Saldine, joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed, each and every Wednesday night on IWDN Radio. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable with yours truly, Mark Shaheed, as the host and the producer of the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I always like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community like I did tonight here with our distinguished panelists. But also there'll be members that would come here that are not members, I would say, in the Muslim community, but part of the human family, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. We take all that on the MGM Roundtable as we get ready to fast forward into the African American History Month / Palladian History Month that's coming up. Got some great surprises for you that will be guests here for the whole month of February. And then it kind of leads us on into the sacred month of Ramadan. And that's going to be devoted to all of Ramadan and what all it entails. There's a lot of great events that will be coming up on IWDN Radio. So please make sure you invite a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, a community member. And last but not least, let's not forget the lifeblood of this community. That's the Muslim Journal. Make sure that you keep up your subscription. And if you have the wherewithal, make sure that you can purchase a subscription for a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, maybe a pioneer in your community, or maybe your local library where many can actually read that. And last but not least, just remember the theme for IWDM Radio. Set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. That's all, folks. Come on. Wake up, everybody.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for the listeners. Thank you for having us.
Alhamdulillah. I'm gonna call y'all. Y'all have to give me some of that information. Wake up, everybody.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. Come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Gotta change it, yeah. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. change it, just you and me.
Assalamu alaikum.